Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show. The Mark Hoke Show. Going bell to bell with the best in professional wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's get to all the exciting pro wrestling action and bring on the host. Here is Mark Hoke.
And we are back for hour number two of the Mark Hoke Show here on KDON 101.5 FM, the talk of Las Vegas. Also streaming on the Odyssey app. And we are also live streaming the show on Facebook and YouTube. Hop in that chat box. Say hi. You got any questions for myself or our incredible superstar guest? He is the president of wrestling. That's right. I didn't get a vote, but I'd still vote for him. I don't know. I don't know who he's running against, but, you know, I'll just give it to him anyway. Phil Stamper, at Trust and Phil, on the show. What's going on, Phil?
When you are as good as I am, you are made president.
Oh, really?
Not just elected.
Oh, I see. You know, Phil, when I get out there for WrestleMania, I'm going to have a ballot in my hand. You know what? What would happen if I ran against you, Phil?
You'd have a good, strong contingent from Nevada.
Yeah, I have friends coming with me.
And from there, I don't know. Because I don't know. I have some friends out that way, too, you know. I have a particular submission gangsta who is from the DMV.
Uh-oh.
Like me.
Uh-oh.
I'm just saying.
All right. Maybe we'll have to do a little election. Let's see what happens. What happens if you lose? What happens if you lose?
I'm not going to, so I don't even need to have a contingency plan.
I don't know.
Or like every great president, once they leave, you know, I just become a cult leader.
Okay, that's legit. You could be the cult leader of wrestling. I'll, you could be my vice president. I mean, if you lose, I'll let you be the Veep. No,
I'm holding my pearl, sir.
It's all good. Phil Stamper joining us on the show. Of course, one of the great experts in independent wrestling across the country puts together this calendar. It's just unbelievable. And, you know, follow him on Twitter if you want to know what's going on in independent wrestling across the United States and North America. Just check it out. It's amazing what this guy does. So once again, at Trust in Phil, and you will be incredibly impressed with everything Phil takes care of with that. It's stunning.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. So let's get into what's going on in WWE because, Dwayne was a busy boy this week. Wasn't he? My goodness. The Rock just trying to make up. You know what? I think he heard me tearing him apart the last week or two. I think he did. No, he didn't. He didn't care. I'm a jabroni. But, you know, I will say I was a little tough on The Rock, especially that one promo. I didn't like how he was, you know, saying Cody didn't earn anything, and I kind of tore him up. I am now going to give my love to The Rock. I am acknowledging The Rock because he did a hell of a job this week. Mm-hmm. If you were not on his social media, the man did a 21-minute promotional video that, I'll be honest with you, I almost felt bad for rooting for Cody Rhodes to get his shot because he nailed it. He made me feel like, you know, it should have been The Rock's shot, because he did this whole bit where he was putting in little videos and showing Cody hugging him backstage in Vegas, and, you know, how he was, you know, he was the man, and, you know, putting all these big deals together, working with Ari, and made Seth Rollins look like an idiot. And it was pretty impressive. And then did a very good promo on SmackDown. Even had Paul Heyman kind of staring him down, had the L up in the air again. He's got Paul Heyman scared. And I smell something bad happening at WrestleMania. Of course, threw a challenge down to Cody on night one. So apparently that tag match is going to happen with him and Roman Reigns taking on Seth Rollins and Cody. And if Roman and Rock win. It's a bloodline rules match for the Universal title. Anything goes. If they would lose, then it's one-on-one for Cody and Roman, and everybody's barred from ringside, which if Roman or if The Rock is planning to turn on Roman, it works either way.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty, I thought, pretty good week for The Rock. I give the man credit. He did things right this week. Phil, what'd you think?
I mean, you're absolutely right. There's so many different ways to tell the story of what could happen next. And what you just laid out is exactly that. Let's say Roman loses to Cody, The Rock. Oh, well, obviously you weren't the head of the table you thought you were. And now it's Roman versus Rock, you know, for that. And so there's, again, there's just so many different ways to go with this, which also brings into my mind what would have happened if CM Punk hadn't gotten hurt?
Yeah.
You know, how would have he been in all of this too? And it's been so interesting to see how they have been building up Roman Reigns over the last couple of years now, to be able to get to this point, to make him the modern day Bruno Sammartino, like the guy who's held the championship the longest. And I've had some people like, oh, this is their way to remove the legacy of dot, dot, dot. I'm like, no, it's not. You're giving this current generation somebody to look to who they connect with and know of because they watched him. And then in 20 years, they're going to be like, that guy isn't a Roman Reigns. Because then they're going to be pulling references from 60 years ago. So I like that they're doing this. I don't think they're removing anybody's legacy because you can't, because that happened. But I am excited. And just like with The Rock is an amazing, talented person. I'm not going to lie. A 22-minute, 40-second promo, a little too long for me, but I like what he said.
Yeah.
I liked all of it. And he's, you know, there were really good points made in it. And I'm like, but also, you know, having some knowledge of things that have changed since he came on too, what plans were supposed to be there that then once they got the fan response that they went, maybe we need to rethink this.
Yeah.
But it also harkens back to, I don't know if you remember, before Roman Reigns was the champion, they were teasing a Roman Reigns Rock years, not even really against each other, but that The Rock was supporting Roman Reigns because Roman Reigns, they were trying to make face and fans weren't buying it.
Yeah, at the Royal Rumble when that disaster happened.
Right. And The Rock quietly exited away because he was supposed to sort of bolster Roman Reigns up. And he got almost booed out of the building.
Yep.
And that was not intentional, or not the intention of the WWE at the time. So The Rock sort of went, okay, this is not what I need to be. I don't need my brand to be diminished now by Roman Reigns. And so now that they've switched it and now The Rock is accepting of this, I think this is working. I'm glad that he is doing this. And he is not wrong. Roman Reigns versus The Rock would have been a headline. The response you saw from fans was a genuine response when he's like, maybe I need to be the head of the table. Like that. Yeah, yes, absolutely. But then in that moment of retrospect, fans went, well, wait a minute. We've invested now over a year in Cody Rhodes and what he's doing. And now you've come here and we're supposed to switch all of it and our allegiances and like, what about this? And what about that? Well, how about this? Then it started to spin out of control a little bit. And then once it was, oh, this wasn't a surprise anymore. Now it's, oh, we see the intention of it. Oh, we don't know if we like this. Oh, no. And so The Rock to be able to tell this story of mapping it out, I think is great. I think a little long, but it's great. But you could, you know what? The Rock will keep your attention for 24 minutes. That's the thing. So,
yeah. And to me that, you know, I had just been saying that the way that they had gone in and done this, it was like they kind of planted a time bomb in the middle of the Cody Rhodes story and just blew it up. Mm-hmm. And you were losing a lot of continuity in how you were handling the story by the way they were doing it. But honestly, I thought that video that he did cleaned a lot of it up. You know, as a comic book guy, you know, I'm big on continuity and you know, somebody likes to read stories and as a sci-fi person too. And I hate when you deviate from too far off and you leave, plot points that don't work. And you're like, well, you forgot about this. You forgot about that. He actually did a really good job cleaning some of that stuff up that I was criticizing him for and WWE for. So I thought that video did a terrific job in straightening a lot of those things out. I give him a ton of credit. A lot of it, while they put themselves in that spot, they were able to go back and kind of clean it up. And I like I said, give him a ton of credit for coming up with a way to do it. So now, while it shouldn't have happened the way they did it, it made sense. I'm still kind of mad at Rock for sticking his nose in and saying, yeah, you know what, we're just going to do this and all the plans you have be damned. But, you know, it's going to work out in the end, I think. So, you know, so credit.
And you might have talked about this before and on a previous episode of the Mark Hoke Show. The Rock coming into power and now coming into power at a time when Vince, who has been the power for 50 years, is not there. And that even has power over Triple H. Like, that kind of influence of what's going to happen next with WWE. I mean, the Rock is a performer. The Rock makes great investments. Are there some things that have not worked for The Rock sometimes?
Yeah, which I mentioned.
But there are things he's put money in that have been really successful.
Yeah.
And the fact that now he's has the power of the board, I'm like, wait, wow. This change of authority could really change the landscape of the WWE, of what could come next at a time when things were already beginning to change for the WWE. So, I mean, as a product as a whole, I'm very excited and interested in sort of what happens next.
Yeah, and I think that having somebody who's been in that locker room and has a very clear understanding, and plus, I think one thing that is going to be good about Dwayne having this position is not only just because has somebody that's been there before, is that he has family that's gone back generations as well.
Yeah.
So knowing that link, you know, his family has seen it all too. And guarantee you, they've seen some pretty bad things that have happened in the industry over the past, say, 50 plus years. He's not going to let that happen again. I mean, I'm sure that while all this is great that's happening at WrestleMania, we've seen some more stories coming out this week that, man, it's more just rotten, terrible stuff. And I would imagine that they're all sitting around saying, and that's not just people on the board, but people in that locker room, people in the corporate office that are saying, my God, this cannot ever, ever, ever happen again. I mean, I can only imagine what people say that wrestled in the 70s and 80s that probably, if they wanted to, that are biting their tongues right now, could tell story after story after story and are saying, my God, you know, don't let this happen to you. Whether it's the men who, you know, we just saw the Nick Kaniski story break again and that came out, or the ladies who I'm sure went through a living hell in Vince McMahon's world. I mean, the Rock and people like that will never tolerate that. Never. So it's probably a good thing that he's sitting in that room knowing that that won't stand. It won't. There's no way. So.
And little conspiracy theory in my brain.
Go ahead.
Of the fact that any corporation, any large body entity, this is not exclusive to wrestling, that has had to go through this kind of trauma in this way. Very different that it's an entertainment event, entertainment spectacle that now this has happened to, and in such a weird, almost storyline scripted way if you look at it. And when Vince left before, well, what did Vince do when he came back? He had a doofy little pencil line mustache, and people spent more time talking about his hair color and his doofy line mustache than they did about the accusations. And it's like, oh, Vince is intelligent in the way of, hey, look, distraction, squirrel, look over here, yeah. You know, and how he was able to do that. And, you know, so I'm hoping that legitimately, because one of the points in the lawsuit was when Vince came back and there was like, oh, we're going to have all these investigations and all these other accusations and all these things. And one of the comments was, I was never asked. I even offered to say something and was told we're not interested. It's like, okay. So hopefully it is genuine. Hopefully it is a new era. It is different than the 70s and 80s. And it is just a different time. And so I hope we can put this, I hope we can put all this that's happened behind us. I hope those people who have suffered, who were victims, are taking care of themselves and are treated with the respect as they handle this and they have to now deal with it and relive it as they've had to bring this back up. But that we can move forward and pass this on to then hopefully the good things that come next.
What, you know, and we got to go to break pretty shortly, but what do the performers do at this point? You know, how do they protect themselves, and not just at the top levels, but all the way down to the indies? How do they protect themselves from having things like this happen to them at this point? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Lord only knows. I mean, the casting couch has been around forever in the entertainment industry. And, you know, this is an entertainment industry. How do you make sure that people don't have to go through this again in professional wrestling, no matter where they are?
I think a lot of it you've already seen happen. I mean, when Speaking Out happened a few years ago, it was because people were calling out, hey, this thing that felt really inappropriate happened. Was this in fact inappropriate? And people are going, yes, that was inappropriate. And that there was started to be those support mechanisms of, you know, this kind of behavior was always inappropriate, but now it's not tolerated. And that's where there needs to be that community of support at all levels. And some of that also comes with, you know, foreknowledge and forewarning and maybe a little bit of element of just open conversation about appropriate and inappropriate behavior. And sometimes that means hearing, well, these bad things happen. We don't want the bad things to happen again. We need to learn from them so we don't do them again. But here's what you do to move forward. Now, you know, certainly at the level of independent wrestling, there's not an HR department. There's not counselors right. at the ready. There's not,
yeah. So how do you protect people at that level? That's, you know, that's my question. You know, if you know, and look, I'm not there. I'm not in that circle. But if, you know, let's say ex promoter tells ex performer, you're going to do this or you're not going to work for me, and then that person refuses, and then they call their buddy ex promoter, you know, 100 miles away and says, don't hire this person. And then they call their other promoter friend 250 miles away. Don't hire this person, gets around. And all of a sudden that person gets blackballed.
Well, and that's the fun thing of it, because independent wrestling isn't also that as connected as that, not to that same degree, because then that means a little bit of outing of that person. And can that person trust that promoter Y and Z are not going to out their business too, when they're like, don't put this person into something. And so one, I hope as a community, we support each other too, that we ask questions. Well, why are you telling me this if that's the case? And I know, not that I knew at the time what was happening, but I found out later that this person tried to do that with people. And the other promoters were like, no, we don't buy this from you for a second. What is really going on? And began to ask questions. And that's how it became unveiled. Like, oh, you did some really inappropriate stuff and you abused your power. And also abuse your power to promise things to people. So now you want to abuse your power. Now the person has scorned you to be like, I'm not interested anymore. Like, nope, that's not how this is going to work, buddy. So some of that also comes when it comes to level of accountability to support each other, when then you have to call people out for inappropriate action. And I want to be very clear, inappropriate actions. You know, I work in education. I see people who, you know, are trying relationships for the first time. And sometimes they don't know how to approach a relationship. And it's no different from a lot of the young people I know in wrestling. And just the simple ask of a question of, hey, are you interested in having a date? Are you interested in going out? That isn't, you know, if the other person doesn't want it, just the simple ask of that question isn't a level of inappropriate. So I want to be very clear, like, was this level inappropriate? And then as a community, we can support each other when inappropriate actions have happened, to call it out and to move from that person and be able to move forward with each other.
Yeah, makes sense. Before I go to break, I do have a comment in the chat box, because if you don't know, Phil, it's been incredibly windy out here in Las Vegas. And someone says, I have upset the wrestling gods. Everyone wrestles with someone or something or someone. I can't wrestle with the wind this weekend. This is the best wrestling show anywhere, but don't make The Rock mad. So apparently I angered The Rock. This is all my fault.
I mean,
sorry.
I mean, The Rock is Maui. So I'm just saying, don't mess up with the wind god.
Whoops. My bad. Sorry, everybody. Yeah, I was dodging a tree on the ground and everything yesterday. It was fun. So, well, I complimented The Rock, so maybe I've appeased the gods today. Stick around, everybody. We've got a whole lot more here on The Mark Hoke Show with Phil Stamper as we take you around the world of professional wrestling. Some interesting things happening with the Intercontinental title. And did I foretell something? Maybe. Stick around. We'll be right back.
...101.5 FM, KDON.
This is The Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Here again, your host, Mark Hoke.
And let's get back to it. The best in pro wrestling news and entertainment on The Mark Hoke Show here on KDON. 101.5 FM, it is the talk of Las Vegas. I am the aforementioned one, Mark Hoke. Thanks for being with us. And, of course, being bailed out today by the president of wrestling, Phil Stamper. Trust him, Phil, is his ex-handle. Very happy to have him joining us. Of course, from Pro Wrestling Revolver and, you know, pretty much all over the indie scene. Phil, what do you guys have going on for WrestleMania, by the way? Should be a big weekend for you guys, I would imagine.
Oh, it is. So Wrestling Revolver, you know, I have to cheat a little bit because my brain is so focused on... We have an event before we get to Mania weekend. We have two events before we even get to Mania weekend for Wrestling Revolver. So we are on the 16th, we're in Iowa. On the 28th, we're in Ohio. And then on April 5th, yay, I found it in time. On Friday, April 5th, during Mania week, we're in Philadelphia, joining forces with House of Glory Wrestling. We've already announced a couple of matches, a couple of people who will be there, including Mustafa Ali versus Amazing Red.
Ooh.
Will be in action. The Rascals will be there. Santana will be there. Sammy Callahan, Alex Shelley. So it's lining up to be an amazing, spectacular event.
I'm going to have to clear the timeout and bring the team over that I'll be out there with and come over and see that and hang out with you.
Absolutely. It'd be great to see you in person.
Yeah.
Well, the correct coast.
I'm okay with that. You know I'm from out that way, so you can say that.
I know. On the right coast. There you go. On the right.
Yeah. It's all good. It's all good. I'm in Nevada, so I'm not like on the coast. I'm just kind of west.
Well, like I said, come this way for water.
Yeah. Plenty of water. Exactly. We'll bring a little East Coast blend, as the kids like to say. It's all good.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. So make sure you check all that out. The Pro Wrestling Volvers going on from all across the country. Yeah, we got it. Man, you guys got to do a card out here for Double or Nothing. That would be so awesome.
I will say there's been some conversation, but definitely nothing finalized.
All right.
And, I mean, we're very fortunate as a company to have a great connection to TNA, to AEW, so we have a lot of that talent that appears on our events, and so we have to make sure it is also financially viable.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Well, you know, I'll be there for you.
I appreciate it.
I will work cheap.
Good to know. Good to know. Yay. That's one.
I'll work cheap. Oh, man. Well, of course, we've got more going on, getting ready for WrestleMania coming up here. It's just a month away. That's so crazy. But I was intrigued by some of this little hype that's coming up with, we have maybe a four-way coming up for the Intercontinental title, which could be some quality entertainment, as Dominic Mysterio, Sami Zayn, and Chad Gable getting out in the forest, man. he's looking like he's ready to go. And it was kind of funny because last year at WrestleMania, I got a chance to interview Chad and Otis. And I had actually said, even before that whole first round went, you know, Chad, it'd be pretty cool to see you taking on some of these bigger guys and maybe go after Gunther for that Intercontinental title. And yeah. He agreed, thought it'd be kind of neat. And of course, he ends up in a feud with Gunther. And now he's coming back around, going all Rocky style. And I'll tell you what, I would love to see him be the guy. I'm down with it. Sammy's already won the Intercontinental title. So I want Chad Gable to take out Gunther at WrestleMania. I Dominic, no. God, no. That would be that I mean, it would probably make Philadelphia explode if he did. But yeah. I would be so down with Chad Gable winning the Intercontinental title if this ends up being the match. What do you think?
Then at the same time, Gunther versus Dominic interests me from the fact that there would be a hole in Dominic's chest.
Yes.
I mean, hey, at the same time, if I have to give some credit, one of the most improved stars in the last year has been Dominic Mysterio. Yeah. A year ago, I was just like, Dominic. And then, but now you're seeing this quality level of improvement that he is starting to showcase. And I'm very appreciative because that means work. He's put in some hard work to do that. In a weird way, Sami Zayn has been having a story of his own that he's been telling for a year and a half as well.
Yeah.
And so a year ago, because remember, maybe not to the same level as with The Rock, but there was a lot of people upset that now Cody Rhodes was coming in to take a spot from Sami Zayn.
Good point.
And so is this the opportunity that Sami has to go, this is my story. This is where I'm supposed to be. And he is the one. And I think there's some credibility to that kind of story. And looking at his experience, he's faced all sizes of competitor. He's faced all different styles of competitor. He is somebody that could pull it off and do it well. Chad, I think, is the dark horse. I think Chad is an amazing athlete, an amazing talent. I think you can't deny his wrestling ability. So I wouldn't be upset with him, but I'm really looking at Sami Zayn.
It's an intriguing match if that's what they're going to book. And you make a good point. I still want Chad, but I think you could still see a pass off in the next point I'm going to make is could end up resulting in Sammy down the road, because someone said to me, and I swear to God, I had him in my car and I almost wanted to punch him. They said, Damian Priest is going to walk out of WrestleMania with the Universal Championship. And I swear, I just was like, you got to be kidding me. It made my head spin for a second. It's not going to happen. But then I thought, oh, dear Lord, if they did that, Philadelphia would riot. But I have a feeling Damian Priest may be walking out with the world championship. Would that surprise me? No. I mean, I could see Priest stealing that title away from Drew McIntyre after he beats Seth Rollins. Or if Seth survives, Damian wins the title. And, then down the road, maybe at SummerSlam, Sammy finally gets a shot, or maybe Money in the Bank. They're going back up to Canada, and that's a possibility. So, some intriguing stuff. But Seth's going to have a pretty heavy dance card at WrestleMania 2 coming up here.
Yeah. They're riding a very interesting line with Damian Priest. He's in the he's in the Judgment Day. He's a heel, but there seems to be some support too. So it's like, where are you riding with him? And so like, I feel like they're in this pause moment of like, we have all this other stuff that's happening. Is this where we pull the trigger? We have to pull the trigger soon, cause it's going to be Money in the Bank time pretty soon.
Yeah.
And so, all right, are we going to pull the trigger on Damian Priest and go, okay, here's where you have your moment. And then, like, I think if they do, though, he has to leave Judgment Day. Or just double down. Make him the worst son of a gun you've ever had in a wrestling ring and make him be nasty about it. and just double down and make him be the most vicious, dominant leader of Judgment Day.
Yeah, this is going to be, you almost wonder if they pull something between now and then, too,
mm-hmm.
and have him cash in. But boy, if he loses, that would suck.
Yeah, I agree. But, I agree. You don't want him to lose.
No, I mean, but you could have, if he would lose, if he would take the belt off Seth before WrestleMania, dear Lord, mm-hmm. how crazy would that get?
At the same time, there's been a lot of talk that Seth is hurt, that he's been working hurt. He's even, I think he even said in a promo, he's been hurt for like a year. And so, you know, it would make some sense too, that he does it also to save the physical well-being of Seth Rollins.
Yeah. Because this is, I mean, you're talking about a guy. I mean, you know, meniscus is something you can come back from. Of course, his back's hurting too. Yeah. If he lost the title before WrestleMania, he works a tag match so you can protect him a little bit, but then he doesn't end up working on night two, so he doesn't have to go back to back nights. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of makes sense, I guess. Yeah.
You know what? Do something totally unexpected. Have him cash in and become the new tag champions.
Huh. There you go.
Bring Rhea with him. And Rhea and Damian Priest become the new WWE tag champions.
Oh, dear God. Are you serial right now?
Why not?
Phil Stamper, I think you just jumped the shark on that one. Oh.
I mean, okay, him and Finn Balor. Him and Dominic?
God, already, what are you trying? I don't know what you're trying to do, Phil, but we are losing our minds. But yeah, this is going to get very interesting over the next couple of weeks as we get ready for WrestleMania season. Another intriguing name that just popped up over, with some free agency is Tama Tonga is apparently going to be heading into WWE, of course, the son of the legend Haku, and he is apparently headed in and technically a bloodliner. And they apparently WWE is talking about putting him in there too. Phil, is there a concern that the bloodline could just get out of hand because Jacob Fatu's flying around? You've got Umaga's son running around here. I don't know where what's going on with him. You probably know better than I would on that, but could this bloodline situation get a little bit crazy with, and another name too is Naomi that I've been bringing up. I mean, she just got unfortunately double jobbed out after being knocked out of the Elimination Chamber first. And then just getting, because of a segment cut, apparently losing in one segment to Tiffany Stratton after she was just the TNH Women's Champion. Something's got to be up with her. I don't know what's going to happen with the bloodline after WrestleMania, but there could be a whole new little troop flying around. But could it be too much?
I mean, the Anoa'i family is a legacy family in the world of wrestling, and the impact that they have on the world of wrestling can't be denied. I mean, the Headshrinkers for a long time were the longest reigning tag team champions. There's such an amazing legacy that they've had. And so, like, now that the fact that the kids of the kids of the kids are having kids, I mean, it only makes sense. It's going to get bigger. And you're right. You can pack everybody and keep all of them in bloodline. Maybe it's time you almost not splinter. I'm not calling like an NWO red and NWO black.
Well, and
like,
that's what I'm worried about.
Right. But I have to tangent because you mentioned Haku. And I don't know if you've seen this video that's gone out from Dark Side of the Ring.
I did.
Upcoming episode of showing Haku the Shockmaster debut because he had never seen it before. For half a second, I thought you were guzzling down Pepto-Bismol. I was like, my God, are you that sick?
No, it's a prime bottle.
Oh, so just as bad. So,
it's actually water in there, but that's okay.
Fair. But watching this is just, you don't normally think of Haku as and joy in the same sentence, but the laughter he gives you is
it's a great video. Great video.
You've never seen the Shockmaster video before.
Yeah, and if you, by the way, if you haven't seen the Shockmaster video out there, it's one of the great bungles of all time in professional wrestling. Oh, poor Tugboat. But it was supposed to be this massive reveal of a new tag team partner for, it was, Sting, Luger, and I forgot who else was, Sid Vicious, right? If I remember right. This in a massive tag match, and they were bringing out the Shockmaster, and it was a painted helmet of a stormtrooper, and he bursts through the wall and falls down flat, and the mask falls off, and it was just a major disaster. So if you've never seen the Shockmaster video, one of the worst things ever happened in pro wrestling, in a funny way, but it was bad. But yeah, so yeah, I'm just wondering the bloodline. They once again got to be a little careful. Can't get carried away with this, but yeah. So not excited about that at all, huh? No, Phil Stamper. No, nothing. He got nothing. He's got nothing. Let's go to break. All right, stick around, and we wrap the show up. There's another little lawsuit out there that I want to make sure to recommend, because this is kind of on the business side of the industry.
Recommend?
we've also got... say goodbye to two legends that passed away this week. So stick around, everybody. We'll be right back on The Mark Hoke Show. Best in pro wrestling news and entertainment on 101.5 FM.
You're listening to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Vegas. The Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Now, here again is Mark Hoke.
And we are back for the final segment of The Mark Hoke Show this week. Very happy to have you along for the ride on 101.5 FM, the talk of Las Vegas. And, of course, I'm Mark Hoke. Thanks for joining us. Phil Stamper joining me and saving my butt this week. Trust in Phil on X. Certainly do appreciate you, Phil. Thank you so much, buddy.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being my co-pilot today. He looks like
he haven't steered you in too far of a direction.
No, this has been fun. I mean, it's great. You know, it's amazing. You know, when you're doing radio or shows like this, and you think you're going to go and run one direction, and then you know you go in some different places. But that's part of the cool part of doing stuff like this. You know, you just never know where things are going to go, and it's always a blast. So, thank you for some entertaining topics of discussion today, sir.
I'm glad I could help.
Yeah. Well, this one is interesting because as someone who, you know, does a lot of work behind the scenes in pro wrestling, I saw this story and it intrigued me because I didn't know this was going on. But WWE has taken legal action against the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton to stop an agreement between the company and the city of San Antonio from being released, because apparently, Brandon Thurston from WrestleNomics, who, you know, we see his work all the time, was trying to get records from the city of San Antonio in relation to the 2023 Royal Rumble that emanated from the Alamo Dome. He was trying to find out, you know, how the bidding process worked and, you know, get all that information. And WWE said, we don't want anybody to know how we're doing our bidding process and all that kind of stuff. So they're fighting tooth and nail to not let that out, saying it's a trade secret. No way we want that getting out. What do you think of that, Phil? I mean, is this cool that I mean, and look, Brandon does great work. We all know this. I mean, WrestleNomics has kind of become a staple in pro wrestling. Yeah. But is Brandon going a little too far in trying to pull this information and bust behind the scenes of WWE and how they're doing business like this?
I mean, you know, Brandon is that numbers guy. He's that analytical brain. And like he's curious, or B, he knows something. But to me, like I'm not opposed to, like, well, you know, what was that process like? And even on the event logistics side, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm curious too a little bit. Is there some other information that he's trying to gain from this? And it's on the political spectrum of things. I am very intrigued that their attorney general has gotten involved that he's just gotten involved in general, like this, because he's also in some legal hot water as well himself as their attorney general. And so I'm just a little like, why is this the focus of his attention? What is it that doesn't want to be revealed? What is the trade secret? Is it that the WWE agreed, and I don't know if it would be this, but the WWE agreed to so much business in the city of San Antonio, if San Antonio then invested some money in them, is that part of it? And that they don't want that to be leaked, that San Antonio gave the money? I'm not saying, this is me totally supposing. Is it something like that? And then that becomes a question of public funds and usage. Like, is that what's going on? When they say that there was a bidding process, was it because WWE was bidding on multiple locations? And how did San Antonio get to be the one? Or was it vice versa, that San Antonio was trying to entice them to come there? So I'm really curious the intent.
Yeah.
What is the reveal?
Yeah, it's fascinating because, you know, there is a bidding process that goes on. And, you know, a lot of times there's tax breaks and all sorts of stuff that get thrown out there. And, yeah, but boy, I'll tell you what, I mean, on WWE's side, I don't know if I'd want that information out there myself, but wow, it's fascinating. And I kind of see both sides of it, that, you know, it would be interesting to see how the sausage is made. But at the same time, from the business side, I would be like, I wouldn't want that out there. So interesting story there. I'm going to be interested to see where Brandon ends up on this. I'd love to talk to him about it at some point.
Bring him on. I'm gonna try again.
I'll keep bugging him, but so good luck, Brandon. We'll see how that goes for you. And of course, this week we lost two very incredible characters in pro wrestling. And the first one, Ole Anderson, passed away at the age of 81. Of course, one of the original Four Horsemen, and of course started wrestling back in the late 60s and in the AWA, and of course one of the great performers in Crockett Promotions and down in Georgia before the guys put the Four Horsemen together, and off he went. And boy, a cantankerous character, as everyone liked to call him, but one of the great wrestling minds in pro wrestling. And saying goodbye to Ole Anderson, Phil, your thoughts on him?
I mean, just, I don't even know what more can be said. The legacy and impact that he had on so many of the talents that we know, the influence on Rick and Arn, just an amazing personality. But what a wonderful life, and to have lived to 81, to do all the things that he did. I think that's just amazing.
Yeah, and so many incredible people he worked with. Well, can you imagine? You know, he was in a championship tag team with Stan Hansen. Imagine working against those guys. Ow. Right. God, you better have your health insurance paid up on that night. My God. And then, of course, we also lost Mike Jones, known as Virgil, in WWE. Of course, he was the muscle for the million-dollar man, Ted DiBiase. And then when he went to WWE, became Vincent. I wonder why those two names came up. If you don't know, of course, Virgil was Dusty Rhodes' real name. And then, of course, Vincent, obviously against Vince McMahon. I wonder why that got changed. But, of course, quite a character. If you ever saw any interviews with him, he would say just about anything, to say the least. But, of course, became a part of the NWO then when he was in WCW. But had a lot of health issues, strokes and dementia, and then, unfortunately, got cancer late in his life, too. And yeah, a lot of that stuff caught up with him, but I believe we lost him at 72, if I remember correctly. So, that guy was something else, man. He did what he was asked to do. And of course, when he finally turned on the million dollar man, it was a lot of cheers, man. It was a guy was an interesting performer.
Yes.
Yeah. So
it was an exciting time in wrestling.
Yeah, it was. It was. But still will never forget them knocking that basketball away from that little kid. It was a very, very sad day. But yeah, so saying goodbye to those guys. Phil, what do you got going on, my friend? Let everybody know.
So this coming weekend, I'm at MCW Pro Wrestling in Maryland and Joppa. It's our homestead. So MCWProWrestling.com. And then the following week is Wrestling Revolver returning to Iowa. And so we have a lot of big things planned for what's happening there. Both events, I think, are going to have almost about 1,000 people at them. So amazing, amazing independent wrestling action that you can see. MCWProWrestling.com and ProWrestlingRevolver.com.
And if they want to check out that independent calendar, so everybody can catch that.
I've opened up a Substack. So I'm learning that site. So it's wrestlereality.substack.com. Or just follow me on my social media and I'll be able to link to it and show you the graphics I make every week.
All right. Sounds good. Phil, I thank you so much. You have no idea what this means to me. I'm going to owe you definitely a dinner out at WrestleMania weekend. Thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Feel better because I think you've lost 15 pounds since we've been talking.
Well, I appreciate it. Great job today. Guys, thank you for joining us on the Mark Hoke Show. We do appreciate it. We will see you next week as we got some great guests lined up. Colin Tessier and Doc Johnson are going to be joining us as we, come back from AEW Revolution and get ready for another week towards WrestleMania. Should be a good one. We'll see you next week on The Mark Hoke Show. Follow us on Twitter at Mark Hoke Show, Facebook, The Mark Hoke Show, MarkHokeShow.com, and subscribe to us on YouTube at The Mark Hoke Show. We'll catch you next time, Las Vegas. Have a good one.
Want more of The Mark Hoke Show? Follow us on Twitter at Mark Hoke Show, like us on Facebook at The Mark Hoke Show, and visit MarkHokeShow.com to keep up with everything happening with the show. And remember to check out all of our archive shows on YouTube at The Mark Hoke Show and download our podcasts at markhokeshow.podbean.com and all your favorite podcast outlets. So join The Mark Hoke Show family today, and thanks for listening.